Welcome to the Business Shop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins. Let's chop it up.
Knock out your competition with All Together Marketing. We elevate your brand. Take a stance with your business name, logo, the tagline, your colors, even the fonts for your business. And then jab left with your website. Jab right with core values. Back up with product experience and bring it on with you. Visit alltogether.biz and let us help you create a knockout brand.
Hello, Chop Squad. Our guest today hails from Houston, Texas. She is none other than Kristen Hillman, and she is going to give us the financial strategy secrets to scale to seven figures. Now, Kristen is the founder and CEO of Aticula LLC, which is a boutique financial strategy and virtual CFO firm that helps service-based businesses accelerate their dreams through her signature financial simplicity framework. Kristen has 25 plus years of accounting and finance experience leading private equity companies to success and now helps values-driven small businesses maximize their profitability and sustainability. A little bit more about Kristen. She's passionate about helping female founders and CEOs accelerate their dreams and supplementing the world-class business coaching they've already receiving with critical financial strategy to ensure long-term growth and profitability. She's the virtual CFO and financial advisor. Business coaches keep on speed dial to offer bespoke financial strategy that separates good programs from game-changing containers. All right, Kristen, welcome to the Business Shop.
Well, thank you, Audrey, for having me. That was a mouthful of information about me.
Yes, and we're excited for you to back that up.
I'm sure you
wouldn't be here if you weren't able to. So definitely appreciate you spending your time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
Yes, absolutely. Just like marketing and technology, we always have several different types of financial guests on as well. But everyone comes from different angles and different mindsets or strategies. What is your foundation as far as helping us to scale to these seven figures?
For sure. My background is in, corporate accounting, but really where I come from is a holistic view of a business. Most people start their businesses, entrepreneurs, for personal reasons, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's specific growth goals that they have. And I feel that it is so important to start there always when we're building financial plans and strategies, to always make sure your business is meeting your personal needs and goals that you have, why you started it in the first place. So that is the basis of what I do with my clients. We get into the nitty gritty, it's accounting, it's finance. But my goal is to always come back to, why did you start your business? What are you trying to achieve personally? And let's make a plan to get there.
Sometimes I've run across people over the years, they're really, focused and excited about their product or service that they offer, but they really hate the business side of business and finances. That's the foundation. Like I said, why do we get into business? Sure, we like what we do, but we like what we do. We also want to maintain a home or go on vacation, have the latest gadgets or whatever those personal things that we want outside of just meeting our needs and maybe helping a few other people. So speak to those people who just really hate that side of business, because not only it's one thing to like farm everything out, but we still have to have some knowledge and we still have to have some kind of experience.
For sure. I mean, it is a rare client that comes in to our business that doesn't have anxiety when it comes to either money or numbers. I mean, that's just the reality. There's very few people that really love crunching their numbers and looking at them. And so my ultimate goal is to reduce that anxiety. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is actually with non-emotional information. And we're just going to have data and it's just information. I find a lot of business owners are very comfortable looking at their marketing data and they don't take it personal, right?
Like, right.
Whether they're running ads or they're doing, you know, mailers or whatever it is, they look at that data. What worked? What didn't work? What do we need to do next time? Our goal is to bring that exact same conversation to the finance side of your business so that then you're really making wise decisions about all things, whether it's people or purchases or investments or your pay as the owner, and really take away the emotions because our businesses are our babies, right?
Right.
And it's hard for people to remove themselves. So our goal is to come in, get rid of that anxiety with just non-emotional information and help you make decisions going forward. Because at the end of the day, if you're anxious about your money and you refuse to look at it, you're really just throwing spaghetti at the wall in your business, you know, like trying to make more revenue or figure out how you can, you know, take that vacation and not actually looking at your finance numbers. It's a guess. Like, I hope it works out. Whereas really just bringing data and figuring out, okay, what do we need to do so I can do this or that the business achieves this?
Yeah.
So the reality is most people are anxious and uncomfortable and don't want to talk about it, but really it's an important conversation. If you run a business, it's a key part that you need to have.
Right. What are the key financial metrics then a service provider, what do we need to master to at each different stage of our growth?
Sure. There's some high level ones that every business should know. And then when you get down to details and tweaking, it's pretty customized based on their business and those goals, right? Always go back to your personal goals on what you're trying to achieve. But understanding, ultimately, the number one thing is to understand the difference between your revenue, your gross profit, and your net profit.
Okay.
Really knowing those three things is a starter for any business, no matter whether you're service-based or product-based. So if you're open, I can kind of explain the difference.
Sure, please.
Yeah, okay. Revenues is the money that comes in, the whole amount, whether you're building a gadget and you sell that gadget for, you know, $100, it's $100. It's the total amount that comes in.
Okay.
The next step is understanding your gross profit. And that's how much of that is left after you've actually provided the service or built your widget. So if for service providers, a lot of them have, maybe they provide booklets and templates for their clients. Maybe they bring in people to help them provide that service. For example, I have several clients that are professional organizers. They'll go into a home and do a full move-in, like literally move people into their homes, delivering a team of organizers. They'll have five or six organizers in. Well, the cost of those organizers is a cost of producing the service.
You know,
you build somebody to move them into a home. You have certain costs that are attached to that that are not negotiable to produce what you're selling. What's left after that is your gross profit. No. So that's really what's available for you to run the business and to pay yourself. And a lot of people don't take that step. They look at their revenues and they look at what's left at the end of the day, but really kind of taking a pause in the middle, looking at your gross profit on, okay, how much is actually left after we've done the thing, sold the thing? That's what you have available to run your business.
Yeah, that's a little nasty area that I think people probably get hung up in for sure.
Well, but it can help so much. I mean, think about, I have another client that's a health and fitness coach. And for her to provide different types of services, if she has no idea that one of them, she's hiring so much help to produce that offering that she's actually losing money, But maybe another offering is making so much profit that it's balancing it off, and she doesn't know that she's losing money on one of the things that she sells.
Yeah, makes sense. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that happens all the time where something is just killing it with, you know, your profit, how much money is left, and it's kind of taking up the slack for some of the other ones. And so if we can take a stop and that gross profit and really look at that, a lot of times that can answer a lot of questions of stressors in businesses when we're overwhelmed, overworked, things like that.
Yeah. Okay. And so the next one was the net profit.
Yes.
That next mm-hmm. one.
And that's what's left after you've run the business.
Okay.
So you've sold your revenues, you've provided the service or created the thing you're selling, and then you've run the business. And that's, you know, if you have office space, that's subscriptions and dues for Zoom and all the different.
Oh my God.
Subscriptions. The subscriptions, a little side caveat, is the very first thing that we analyze with clients, because most people have so many subscriptions and use a quarter of them.
Wow. That,
so.
Yeah, that was important. It's almost like you need to repeat that statement, because we do. When you say subscriptions, so it's like, oh God, you know, let me start. Let me get this bag behind me and pull out all the things. And you're right.
So
like, you add up. Yeah, because some of them are really inexpensive. You know, say if it's monthly, whether you pay it annually or not, say it's $6 here, $10 here, $16 here. So it's not a lot individually, but go on, Kristen.
Yeah, for sure. Well, but those are the kind of things, like when you take a moment and actually look, you're like, oh, I didn't know it had gotten that high, all those little amounts, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of operations, running the business. If you have administrative help, you know, they're team members, but they're not actually providing the service, right? Mm-hmm. If you're doing any type of marketing, all of those things are running the business. Net profit is, at the end of the day, what's left. And wise business owners understand that that's not what's available for them. You've got to pay taxes. You need to build up a healthy savings. So I know it's not fun, but that's where it's really looking at it. You can go, okay, I want to take this vacation in 6 months. And we look at that net profit and see, okay, what can we do with that? Make sure we set aside the money for taxes so you're never caught off guard.
Yeah.
And really start putting money away for that specific item or figuring out how much you should pay yourself. Most business owners don't pay themselves mm-hmm. until it's, I mean, significantly later than they should. And a lot of people have a mindset issue attached to that. They don't realize not paying themselves actually makes them feel a little angst against their company. Mm-hmm. Underlying frustration of how hard you're working, but you're not seeing the benefit.
Right.
And so paying yourself is a really important part of that. And that comes from the net profit after all those things, mm-hmm. making sure that, you know, you have the right amount of money for taxes, you have a good savings balance for your business, mm-hmm. and you pay yourself. So it's kind of like a waterfall effect, you know, especially in the online space, people like to talk about their revenues a lot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if at the end of the day, the net profit is very small.
We're getting the flower picture. What's behind that? You right. know, with the mat, what's, you know, what's the part that we aren't seeing? And that's what we really need to just, you know, to look inward and look at what we're doing and, you know, compliment, be happy for what others are doing, but don't get caught up in, you know, that frontal picture, because that's not always as pretty as you think it is. There's work behind that.
For sure. For mm-hmm. sure. You know, mm-hmm. the phrase there's always, what is it? The overnight success was 10 years in the making.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yes. And I think sometimes we forget that too, you know, being right in the trenches, we need to like stop and celebrate that, you know, and actually be grateful too. It's like, wow, I have come from a long way and I, you know, I came through this, and then that's what we can start mentoring and coaching or giving a different part of that back to that next person that's on that 10 year struggle, or maybe we can help them cut it to five years or something.
For yeah. sure.
Yeah, well, that's another topic. But so what are the top decisions then that are actually holding us back from our financial freedom?
I think first and foremost, once the business is running and you're generating some money, mentally shifting from entrepreneur to CEO mode, realize, you know, entrepreneurs are tough. and scrappy and, you know, do all the things to get it done and really shifting into the mode of I'm running a business and it's appropriate to have advisors and team members that are specialists so that I can always be focused on the vision of the business versus in the grind doing the details. That mental shift, I think, is extremely important just to prevent exhaustion and burnout as well. Kind of stepping out of that scrappy entrepreneur mode can really actually help you grow your business more.
Almost like becoming an adult.
Growing up. Yes. It's time for the business to grow up a little bit. Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, but you talk about, you know, mindset and coming from entrepreneur, solopreneur to growing a team, that shifting of is trust. We trust ourselves, even though we mess up a lot, we still trust ourselves.
Right.
So, but to bring somebody else in or somebody's, because I think it's going to be more than just a team member, it's going to be like the financial expert, say for somebody, you know, like you, or the legal advice or just business advice. I know that's kind of an emotional thing. So I don't know if you can answer the question, but how do we, you know, really push ourselves out of that to that next step? Someone come along and just give us a swift kick or something.
I think it's a intentional choice that has to be made. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people get there because it's either grow up in your business or quit. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people just don't make it to that 5-year mark because they're exhausted more than anything. Mm-hmm. And understanding that if you want to build something that has a long-term profit, you've got to start looking long-term versus the short-term versus getting the work done this week or what's happening this month, to start thinking 3 years. What do I want my business to look like in 5 years? Mm-hmm. And kind of stepping into that, you know, CEO role is about the long-term vision of the business versus the day-to-day.
If we are going to be CEOs, that means there are some tiers that are, I hate to use the word underneath us, but in the pyramid, there are some other levels.
For sure.
The CEO, if we want to be a real CEO, then we have to understand that there are some other people that are serving that, the company.
Well, yeah. and it's important, especially in areas like legal, finance, even marketing and operations, mm-hmm. that at the end of the day, it possibly could cost you less to bringing in an expert for a short amount of hours than you spending the time trying to research and figure it out on your own and quite possibly making an important mistake. You know, we do not provide tax services intentionally because taxes can get complex for business owners and you need an expert on taxes, and you want them and you want to only pay them for their expert on taxes. You don't need to pay them to do your bookkeeping. Right. That's a really expensive bookkeeper, a tax specialist. So bringing in the experts can actually save you money if you can, you know, bring them in on just project basis or fractional basis, because it's going to save you a whole lot of time. It's going to be done right and more than likely really be able to catapult you financially in your business to move forward.
But once we set our goals, say for our first 7-figure, we say, you know, say just for the sake of conversation, that maybe the people watching right now happen to reach that first 7-figure goal, but they want to. So what are the steps when we come to see you or somebody in your organization? What does that look like? Are we, you know, bringing the list of products and services that we offer, the price points, and, you know, so what does that look like, Kristen?
For sure. The very first thing that needs to happen is to make sure your historical data is actually there and accurate.
You need that on pieces of paper? It has to be.
Well, they might be accurate, but we got to make sure that if we're going to base all our decisions on data, let's make sure our starting place is correct, right? Mm-hmm. So bookkeepers are, I like to call them your historians. They're all about the past. Mm-hmm. They document the history and you want to make sure it's done correct and timely. You know, if your bookkeeper's not getting you stuff within 15 to 20 days, maximum 30 days, you need to look elsewhere or have a conversation. Timely information that's accurate is really important. So we always start there, whether somebody's already got financials and we just need to confirm they're accurate, or we bring them in-house and work on them with them. And then we have our starting place. Like, okay, now we have a basis of what's going on right now. And we usually do a full audit first of the history and notice if there's any leakage in the business or any amazing things that are happening that maybe the business owner doesn't actually even know. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about earlier, sometimes different offerings can provide different profits for us, and really understanding that. So we do a full audit of really understanding what's working really well financially and what isn't. And then at that point is when we can actually start to look forward into the future and really understand what does the finances need to look like to support what the business goals are, what your personal goals are, and then start looking forward and setting, you know, some metrics, some goals to get to where you want to be personally.
Okay. Okay. So what would be three steps to boost our client retention? Because maybe we haven't even looked at, you know, we're just busy. Oh, we got a new client. So we're excited. We have a new client. But what are we doing, you know, to retain that client or the one the who was those first three clients that were there when we first started with regard right. to our financial strategy?
For sure. And a financial strategy, you know, everything comes back to data first. We start with the data. Then we bring in the personal aspect, whether it's your emotions, you know, your feelings about something or your personal goals. And I think to focus on client retention is having a history of how long do clients stay with you? Mm-hmm. At what period of the process have people been leaving? Or is it seasonal that you lose clients? And start to find the trends so that then you find the area, whether it's situational based or time based, that you're losing clients and start to pay attention. Okay, what was happening? Is it just going to be part of my business, or is it something that I need to then look at that, you know, service or the cost of that service, or, you know, why the client left in the first place? And kind of then you can start like operationally and business-wise figure out why something's broken.
Or what would be that main advice that you would want to leave us with?
My primary advice is that if you are running a business, you want to treat it like a business and really put a big brick wall between the two so that you can start making some decisions that aren't purely emotional. I'm not saying take them out, mm-hmm. but it needs to be a piece, but not the primary piece. Like, we're really here to run a business and make a profit. And so making that shift of understanding, okay, this is my business. If my client retention is not good, that doesn't mean I'm a bad person or a bad friend, right? It means I need to do some evolution in my business and do some tweaking to make my clients want to stay with us longer. Mm-hmm. I think that is the number one, is that mental shift. Like I said, moving from the entrepreneur to the CEO, knowing I'm running a business, and start treating it that way.
So Kristen, how can we get in touch with you to, you know, to be able to make that next step?
The easiest way to get in touch with me is the business is active on Instagram and LinkedIn. So Instagram's is vaticula.financial. As well as our website, vaticulafinancial.com, that can really give you a great highlight into the things that we do and how we support clients.
Awesome. Well, Chop Squad, make sure you get in touch with Kristen and her business there so we can get started, so we can be CEOs and not just entrepreneurs. It's time to grow this thing. It's time to grow up and get to the next level. Thanks again, Kristen.
Thank you, Audrey, for having me. It was fun.
Thank you for listening to The Business Chop. We hope that you were able to glean valuable information from our guest and that you will download and share this podcast. Your rating and review is much appreciated. To go deeper with our guests, please visit their website and social channels. To learn more about us, please visit businesschop.info or altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand.